So, Mrs. Edwards, I want to first of all say thank you for agreeing to interview with us. Okay. So, we're going to be doing four parts. The first part of the interview is going to be demographics and family history. Then we're going to do memories of childhood and youth. The third part will be adult marriage and family. The fourth will be work and retirement. And the fifth will be historical events.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to start with demographics and family. Please say and spell your name.
Henrietta Edwards. HENRIETTAEDWARDS.
What is your date of birth?
January 28th, 1990.
I understand you just had a birthday.
I did.
And you turned how old?
100.
What a blessing. Did you have a celebration?
Yes, I did.
Okay, how was that?
Lovely.
Okay. That's how I heard about you. I heard about this wonderful party.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How would you describe your ethnic background?
Baby.
Ethnic, are you...
Are you Caucasian? Are you black? Or are you...
I'm Afro-American.
Okay.
Is that what you...
Yeah.
What is your religion, if any?
A Methodist.
Methodist?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Methodist also.
Okay.
What is the highest level of formal education you have completed?
I finished high school 12th grade, but I also took up a... Maybe y'all had to vary.
That's fine, high school.
Nurse assistant, a PNC.
Oh, very good.
Yes, I have that. And, anyway, nursing, that PNC was the main thing.
Okay, what is your marital status?
Married one time and two.
All right.
My husband.
How many children do you have?
Only one.
One?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so he's an only child, huh?
That's
okay.
It.
How many siblings do you have?
I think I got about 17.
No, okay. Not the grandchildren, your sisters.
Oh.
Sisters.
My sister?
Yes.
Oh, just five of us. Four sisters. I only have four sisters. Is that what you want?
Right, that's good.
Four sisters.
At what age did you retire?
62.
Okay, that completes part one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to go on to part two, which is memories of childhood and youth. What was your family like when you were a child?
As far as I know, I remember my father. My mother died when I don't remember her. I just see pictures of her and what they tell me of my mother. But I had a lovely childhood, because my dad was strict.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised us, my daddy did. And I come up very nice.
So your father raised the five girls?
Yes.
He had his hands full, huh?
Yeah, everybody told him that, but this is what he wanted to do.
Okay.
Keep his girls together. What else, baby?
Tell me a little bit about your father.
Oh, at least I had a picture of him. My dad was from Little Rock, Arkansas. I knew that. And I knew he married my mother, I think when she was 16, I think she said. I'm going by what I hear. I don't know what I've heard. But coming up with my father is from this grade school. I remember things better when he sent us to school, take us to school, pick us up from school. And as far as my mother, I can't say nothing about her too much. She died when she was 28 years old.
Okay, she was young.
And,
so what sort of work did your father do?
My father was the first I knew of. He was the first black postman, African-American postman there in Muskogee, Oklahoma. He's from Little Rock, but he came to Muskogee, Oklahoma when he married my mother. And we were all born in Oklahoma, all five of us girls. But my daddy came there, his wife, my mother. And I forget real quick.
That's okay. So we'll go on to some other things here.
Okay.
Were there any special days or events or family traditions you remember from your childhood? So do you do any kind of special things when you're growing up for holidays and stuff like that?
We were always active in school, all five of us, because I didn't mean to stay in school until I finished high school. He was very strict. And so I enjoyed. I was in pageants, you know, the plays in school. I can't talk to plenty of.
Are you doing fine?
And a lot of things. School and church is where I was really raised up in, coming up with my father, until I was 16 years old. And my oldest sister kept it. She, from then on, I had a sister that was 3 years older than me, I believe she was. She raised us up too, with my daddy. And I stayed with her and her husband, because my daddy married again. And
so you had a stepmother?
I had a stepmother, but he still kept us, you know.
So what kinds of things did you do? You said you were in pageants in school. What other kinds of things did you do in school?
I'm really a seamstress and a nurse, but I only got as far PNC in the nurse,
practical nurse.
In nursing, my field was nursing, really was the first, and sewing. I done a lot of sewing. Seamstress.
Mm-hmm. So
Mother was a seamstress.
Okay. So what kinds of things did you sew?
What kind of things?
Did you sew?
What she said?
What kind of things did you sew?
Oh, I sewed for people. After I finished school. I finished sewing in high school.
Okay. Now, what about, you said you were active in school and you were active in church when you were growing up. What kinds of things did you do in church?
Oh, I sang. We did in BYPU, everything that went on for children.
So when you said you used to sing, did you have a good voice?
I was alto.
Alto, okay.
I was in the blue club. In school, in high school, I was in Greek club, but I was an alto. And we sang in church, all five of us. The five, I had four sisters. We always sang in church. They were better singers.
They were better than you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
I was an alto.
Okay, great. You're doing good. We're going to continue with some more questions about childhood memories?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play any sports or join any other activities outside of school?
I in church, like I was a secretary of the pastor's aide and the nurses' guild in the Methodist Church. 62 years I was secretary.
Long time.
But that was for the practical nurse, the nursing. But the pastor's aide, I was 64.
All right.
Secretary Zillis, and I stayed there.
So what kind of things did you do as the secretary? What kind of things did you do in that position?
Well, when the pastor, whenever the pastor would go to different churches, we would always go and assist him. Pastor David, we used to go, you know, do things for his family, his wife, clean our house, cook. You know, it was just a group of us.
Okay.
About maybe 10 of us members. And but that's what we do.
Okay, so you took good care of your pastor, huh? Okay.
We did all of them.
All of it, okay. Very good.
I knew the lesson.
She played high school basketball.
Okay. Did your family have any special sayings or expressions during this time? Sometimes people have like a scripture from the Bible or...
Oh. You should be my family.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes.
Just have pictures of them. Pictures of my mother and father. And,
okay.
My mother, my daddy used to sing in choir.
Oh, he had a good voice.
I remember him. He lived. He died in 1960.
Mm, that was
51.
That was my dad in 60. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Papa died in 1950.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And,
okay, well, that's good. You're doing good. We're going to ask some more questions now about, you lived during the era of segregation. So during that time, you know, the blacks and whites were separated. Can you talk anything about that experience growing up during segregation?
I came up, I was raised really in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And we didn't mix period.
Not at all.
Our school was a manual training high school. It taught us everything from shoe repair, you know, women, all of us. It was a manual training high school. I never saw white too much, white people. They stayed on a different side of the school, you know, the city. Like, we stayed on another. We went to all black school, you know, they went to the white. We didn't come in contact with each other much. I don't remember coming in contact with them much. We stayed on the north end. Most of black people, you know, probably Negro people, whatever.
Black, African American, Negro.
Yeah. And we say, but we were very independent. We had our own dance halls downtown. Most of our African American people, you know, I never saw them too much. Only time I really dealt with them. It's when I worked for, white people. They didn't come to our schools. We didn't go to theirs. We had everything we wanted during those days. All the dances, anything that came to Oklahoma, Count Basie, all of that. We went to all that good stuff. But we didn't have to deal with them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about the long them.
Yeah.
I love them. I have a white family. Only time, we just didn't, well, in those days, it didn't come in contact. We didn't mix. They didn't want us any longer than they wanted to. But after Martin Luther King, I believe, after that, they started going with marrying African-American girls. That's how the marriage came in, and very few Afro-American girls were married. The white, but the white were married, the black girls, you know. That's the way that come in. And
Well, tell me about your school. So you were separated. The blacks was here and the whites was here. So your school was all black as well?
All black.
What about your teachers?
Black.
You had black teachers?
Black teachers.
Okay.
During that year, I finished in 1938.
Right.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, we just in this, in Oklahoma, Muskogee. I don't know the other cities, but Muskogee, we didn't. Indian territory, saw a lot of Indian people, but not quite. Then, come around as much, we did, but we got along. We know what we had to do. They knew what they had to do. We just didn't mix.
So let me ask you, when did you come to Michigan?
Hmm?
When did you come to Michigan?
I came to Michigan in 1941.
So when you came to Michigan in 1941?
I married in 1940. And I came to Michigan in 41.
And so where did you live at in Michigan?
I stayed in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where when I first left Oklahoma, came here with my husband. We lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's where I am from now. Okay, I'm in trouble.
You're doing fine. You're doing good.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is where I really know more about Ann Arbor than I know Muskogee. I knew I was born in Muskogee, went to school, but Ann Arbor, Michigan is where I lived for a year. I just got away from there, come live with my son.
So when you lived in Ann Arbor, where did you live?
I stayed on North Fifth Avenue.
And was that a predominantly black area at the time?
It wasn't segregated that much.
Okay. I've often heard people talk about that area had black businesses, and there was a Dunbar Center, and all of that. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, the Dunbar Center. I see right on the corner up from this.
From the Dunbar Center? Mm-hmm.
All of that on East 2.
Okay.
Dunbar Center. But the Central High School was a quite, you know, it was beautiful, but they just had their school. We had ours.
Okay.
And there was Manual Training High School. It was a big school. We done everything. They taught us everything. And Manual Training. That's where I got my certificate. And then when we went to Ann Arbor in 41.
Okay.
When
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
So when you came to Ann Arbor, you were married?
Ann Arbor.
You were married when you came
just,
to Ann Arbor?
Just married.
All right. And so what was it like in Ann Arbor in terms of blacks and whites? That's okay.
As far as I'm concerned, it was beautiful. I wasn't brought up that way for one thing. We wasn't brought up that way, all five of us. We would work for our people, love them. They loved the people I worked for. Why she didn't know this way? You know, they treated us mean right when I worked for them. I didn't see no difference. It was just a call.
Right.
That's all.
So I think that there's a question about, did you run into any situations with the Ku Klux Klan?
I remember that.
You want to tell us about
I was
that?
Quite young, but my daddy used to. Whenever the Ku Klux would come around through town, in Muskogee now.
All right.
That's where he was. We would hear the truck coming, you know. He would gather us up and put us in the house. We know they come out every evening. Those Ku Klux Klan people. That's what they used to do. We were not on the streets. But we couldn't get along with them, period. They didn't like us because they just soon get out of the truck and whip you. They see a car, boy or man on the street, they get out and just whip you. They just mean.
So they would just So the idea is that your father was protecting you by making sure that you were in the house before dark.
He'd always yell us up, we go out to their pass. He'd come by every evening in the truck. We know they come in here. He just only good out. They will just see us out and deal with you. I remember when I was in Ann Arbor, when I first returned, it was prejudice was there, real bad. Standing on the corner, the big Irisher came through from Port Knox, I believe it was. I was standing on the corner, they threw something out at me. They didn't like us either when I first came. So those, we just stayed in our places.
Okay. So in terms of that experience, how did that make you feel? With the Ku Klux Klan the way they were, how did that make you feel?
What?
Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, so I was quite young. I don't know too much about it. I know my daddy used to get us a take us to the house, but I was young then, and I don't remember too much about the Ku Klux Klan. Only when they come riding through the city in the evening. They come in the evening, and we'd all get off the street, you know.
So let's move to Ann Arbor, go back to Ann Arbor now. So once you got to Ann Arbor, where did you attend church? What church did you attend in Ann Arbor?
I was stuck with Methodist church.
So you say you were Methodist? Did you go to a Methodist church in Ann Arbor?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about Oklahoma. That was First Methodist Church. When my mother, when I first went to my, it was Methodist.
It was Methodist? All right. So now when you moved to Ann Arbor, where did you work?
Oh, I worked all over, everywhere. The first job we had, me and my husband, we first came in Portugal. We worked at the bomber plant.
The bomber plant.
I had the other B-52 bomber.
That's awesome.
I was a counter-thinker and a riveter, a little rivets. But I worked there until they closed down in the bomber plant in Ann Arbor. But the bomber plant was in Ypsilanti, that's just off from. But I worked there until they closed. And after that, I worked in sororities, fraternities, clothing stores, Montgomery Ward, Sears, a big restaurant I worked for years, Starbucks College Inn. I worked for the university restaurant. I was just a block or two from the university. And I worked for Cleveland until my baby was born. I was working for a doctor. I cooked dinner, you know, and everything. I helped take care of the kids. So many of them still know me. They love me, too.
The kids I'm sure do. They do.
All my children love me. And,
well, you had a lot of different things, jobs.
I did.
That's great.
And the last one I had was at the hospital, St. Gil Hospital.
And it's
Catholic.
Okay.
I worked at university for a year, hospital, in bacteriology lab. I worked there for a year, and I got out of that, and I went to St. Joe as a PNC, a practical nurse's assistant for the nurse's aide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I did that until 61. He was born in 51. In 52, I started working at St. Joe. So I just quit St. Joe in 1984.
You had a long career, didn't you?
I worked there 32 years, midnight. I just got out of St. Joe.
So I'm going to go back for a minute to the bomber plant. What did you do there again?
I was a counter-sinker, you know. They drill the holes, and I counter-sink. You probably know what that is, a counter-sinker.
I think I do.
So the rivets can lay flat. On one side, they drill the holes. I'm on this side, counter-sinking, so the rivets can lay flat. Then there's one that would really, you know.
Now, there's a group of women that get together and they call
Rosie the Riveters.
Rosie the Riveters. So you were one of those.
Mm-hmm. Emma. Mm-hmm.
I think you are.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, we're going to follow up on that.
Okay. Yeah, we've done everything.
All right.
And during the war, the women done the work. They said, build a plant. They just keep in the end of the war. They were sitting along, you know, still sitting in the war. But we done most of the work. We done all the riveting, the column sinking, rigging cables. I've done that too. I've done so much. And then, I've worked all over it.
Okay.
Got out of the bone plant.
Okay, we're gonna have to get you listed as one of those women. We'll see what we need to do.
Well, what?
Yeah. Now, let me go back a little bit to adulthood, marriage, and family life. So tell me a little bit about your husband.
I met my husband. Thomas. Anyway, I met him through my brother-in-law. He came from Memphis, Tennessee, to Muskogee. He had an uncle there. Lawyer Edwards died. He came there to Oklahoma to see about the property. I met him there. And he stayed. That's when I met my husband.
He stayed because of you?
He just liked Oklahoma. I guess
okay.
He liked Muskogee. But
right.
I was about his first girlfriend. I was around 18.
So now, so what did he do for employment? What was his career?
He was a jack of all trades.
Okay.
He loved politics. He campaigned a lot for the judges in Ann Arbor, the lawyers. He was that for a long time. But he worked very long with me. Me and him worked together in the bomber plant.
Oh, he was in the bomber plant as well?
He worked right with him. We worked in a big restaurant together. Awesome. He and I, we had two jobs I know together like that.
Yeah.
Worked 9 years in the bomber plant. How long is it? 5 years or whatever. 9 years in the restaurant. Me and my husband worked together. He worked at Bendix. I think that's automobile, where they make cars or something.
So now how long were you married?
19 years, so he died. Uh-huh. I'm probably still married,
okay.
As far as I'm believing I'm believing separation.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I'm never married since.
All right, okay. So now you told me you lived, when you moved to Ann Arbor, you tell me again where you lived when the two of you moved to Ann Arbor. Where did you live? What street did you live on again?
I lived on North Fifth Avenue. When we first was there in 41, 42 is in both the house, baby. And then I lived there until I came to live with him. We bought our house in 52, and we stayed in that one house on Fifth Street until 2000. 12, I stayed there. My husband died, and just me and my son, and my mother-in-law. I had my in-law, someone with, live with me. But I stayed on Fifth Avenue until 2012, and I come to live with my son.
And so good son and daughter-in-law, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good, that's great. Okay, we're gonna talk a little bit more about work and retirement.
Okay.
You already told me quite a bit. What do you value most about what you did for a living? You had several different jobs, but what do you value most?
I like my nursing. I like that better. And I like the sewing. I sew for a lot of people. I wish I could show you. The only one in Ann Arbor was sewing during that time. So for the Eastern Star, the Elks, all the uniform, I was taught that. They're sewing from my school and then you train high school, so I learned all the sewing, you know. And nursing. Those two I did take from Ann Arbor, I mean from Muskogee. Mm-hmm.
You learned it there, but you also used it in Ann Arbor as well?
I used it in Ann Arbor, most in Ann Arbor.
Most in Ann Arbor.
Because I stayed in Ann Arbor more than I did in Muskogee. I was born in Muskogee, but Ann Arbor, I've been there longer.
So when you say sewing, did you sew for people in your church or you just people that you knew? Who did you sew for?
Anybody that come, knew that I was a seamstress, bring your stuff, I make dresses. I sew for them. I sew for people. It's people, period. You know, if they want their clothes made, school, church, anywhere, I was just a seamstress. They knew of me being a seamstress there. Most people come to me, want this made, I'd make it. I didn't, you know.
So you were good? So you were good?
I guess I was pretty good. Seemed like I was at that time. Looked like I was the only seamstress there in Ann
Arbor.
Okay. My first year in Ann Arbor, it was Saturday too.
Right.
We had a time. But I was the only seamstress. Everybody bring the clothes to me. I don't have my pictures, but.
So now, when you say everybody would bring you things to make, was that black and white or just blacks?
Black.
Just blacks, okay.
We lived on one side of town.
Right.
They lived in central. We was on the north, then the south end.
Okay.
The central high school and all that was like in between. We north, the other south. And then central, the white people. Central. Mm-hmm. Central High School was their main school, right. Right there in the center. We on the north, and that's the south.
So what about Ann Arbor? It was, how was that divided? Do you remember how that was divided?
This is the way it was divided. I knew nothing about Muskogee too much. Mm-hmm. I knew I was born there, and I finished high school.
Okay, that's good.
I finished my school there, but in 1940, in 1940, I came to Ann Arbor, and I married in 41.
So how did you like living in Ann Arbor? How did you like living in Ann Arbor?
I loved it. I loved Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor was just wonderful. I worked at a sorority house, fraternity.
Up on campus? Okay.
When I first came here, I loved it. Everybody was beautiful. We were just, to me, not the dry.
Okay.
Plain as one. They were just as sweet. We were just a big family until when I first went in. But after so long, working at the hospital, everything was just the same. You couldn't tell one from another. They loved us, looked like we loved them.
So tell me a little bit about your, I'm going to go back a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your 100th birthday celebration. Who were some of the people that came to your birthday celebration? Who were some of the people that came to help you celebrate your 100th birthday?
I had a lot of my nurses.
That's what I was worried about.
I worked at St. Joel. Most of the nurses, they came to the party. And all my church people, all of them were there. And other people in Ann Arbor, you know, was around most of
they came, huh? That's how I heard about you. I heard about this wonderful birthday. And they said you need to interview her. So.
I love.
Okay.
I just love. We were all just like that.
Okay.
At St. Joe. We couldn't turn for Retta. They call me Retta.
They call you Retta?
And they still do. Babies, I raised up a million babies. Because I worked in pediatrics. That was my PL. That's how I worked. 62 years in peds, a pediatrics with babies, sick babies and children, you know, up to maybe around 12 years old. But I worked with them. I didn't work. And then when they needed me in the hospital, somebody wouldn't come in the adult floor. I knew all about adults too. I was just taught nursing in my main training high school.
So training. Now it was so many children. So you're saying a lot of them still remember you, huh? A lot of the children that you helped in the hospital, they still remember you?
Oh, yes. They were at my birthday party.
They were at your birthday party?
Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's one. When people show up like that, that means they love you.
Yes. I have pictures. I don't care. I'll be the only one sometimes. I was the only one working pediatrics. Only one mostly worked midnights. I worked 32 years straight midnights. I never laid off. Not once to just be laying off. I never had a leave of absence or anything like that. I loved them, the nuns. When I first started working at St. Joe, they were prejudiced. The nuns were, I never saw a man in there. They were all nuns. But after they built a new hospital in 1972, I think, they built that new hospital that St. Joe got now. Then it changed.
So when you said you were working at the hospital and you were the only one, were you referring to being the only black on the shift?
Only one in the 32 years in pediatrics,
St. Joe.
I worked with the babies. That's why everybody know me. The mother, the father. They all grew up knowing me because I took care of the children. I was the only one. When I left there in 19, when I retired in 60, and I was 62 when I retired, 84 or something like that, when I retired.
See, that's okay. You've been retired for quite a while then, since you're 100 right now. You retired at 62?
I retired in 84.
Okay.
I was 62 years old when I retired.
So you've been retired for a little while?
Yeah.
So what did you do with all that retirement time?
I sold.
You sold?
I was, that's what I done most of my sewing. Okay. All of my sewing. I sold for the church, Easter Star, ELF, every organization. Mostly there in Ann Arbor. New uniforms and things. I make them. I wish I had the pictures.
So you made uniforms too. That's
the
pretty difficult.
Capes. I made capes for the nurses at church. I'm talking about now.
Right.
I made capes. I made dresses. I just sold whatever we had to wear. I sold for a lot after I left the hospital. And I sold. I'll say that. Ann Arbor was the last job I was sewing there. When I quit working in Ann Arbor, it's from sewing.
Okay. Well, I understand you also traveled. Where did you travel to?
Oh, I traveled. I didn't travel much.
Okay. Well, where did you travel to? Where'd you go?
Oklahoma.
You went back to Oklahoma?
I just traveled there.
All right.
Because my people were still there. My mother's sister, my uncle,
Okay.
They were still there. And then California. I have sisters stay out there in California. And I would go from Muskogee, Oklahoma to California to Oakland, Los Angeles. So those are three. But I didn't go much. I worked, my husband, he died, he was young. He was 49.
Oh, he was young.
I was 39. Mm-hmm. We're 10 years apart. But I love to work. We own our home like the first. Everybody's about, I used to say, was about the first Negro's own home.
Right.
And when I went to Ann Arbor, you had to get a room or apartment. People didn't own color, people didn't own homes.
They wouldn't sell blacks homes?
They didn't really own their homes like we do now.
Right.
But we were about to one of the first ones that bought our home, big home right there on Fifth. I stayed there until I left in 2012. But we were about the only one that had really bought a home. That's what they,
that was a big accomplishment.
And then my husband's very smart in his way. We owned the filling station right downtown there on the 4th Avenue and Ann Street, Afro-American, the first one, when I went there to serve you. Well, me and my husband, We had two filling stations.
Wow.
One out on Highway 23 and one right in town. And he was very smart. He was really smart that way. He liked that time. He never political, you know, like workers and judges getting them, I don't know. I never seen him work in the dirt.
He never worked in the dirt? I can relate.
He was always out. No, he liked that. Same way.
Same way as your son the same way?
I never seen him work in the dirt either. He's always educated. Because I put him through school, he's done the rest. He liked school, his jobs, and everything. That's what he liked.
Well, listen, tell me more about those filling stations. So you had one downtown Ann Arbor?
And then one out on, I think it was Highway 23. Do we have a 23?
Yes.
Okay, so you all bought and owned two service stations, so filling stations, I get the name straight.
When you first went to Ann Arbor.
Did you work at the filling station or just your husband?
When I come in from the bomber plant, me and my husband, we sent for his brother to come in. He'll run the filling just with the gas and the oil. We sent for his brother to come do that. When my husband get up in the morning, we take over. I just put gas in the car. I do everything. We own that. We own my home. We own the lot.
Well, you all did very well. So you had two at the same time. So who ran the second one? Did you have to hire somebody to run the other service station?
His brother and his wife. They ran the one out on 23. But during the time that we first got our filling station, just me and my husband had it. We go to work and he was working midnights. I was working afternoon. He was working days. You hire somebody to put the gas in the car. We sent for his brother from Memphis, Tennessee to run the filling station while we were working at the bumper plant.
And by how long did you keep both of those filling stations? For a few years or a short?
Oh, no.
No?
We had it for, we kept it for a long time.
Did you?
My mother-in-law came in there. Okay. She stayed upstairs in the park. We kept it until my husband died in 60. When he passed in 60, we were still at the filling station in 1960. From 41, I'll say, to 1960.
And so tell me the location of the one in Ann Arbor again. What was the one in Ann Arbor? What street was the one in Ann Arbor on?
What street?
Right.
The filling station is on Ann Street.
Oh, Ann Street.
No, that's downtown.
Right.
Right on the corner. 4th and Ann. That was that one. I stayed a block down on North 5th Avenue. I stayed a block down from town, from the city market. And our home was right there. And Baptist Church and all of that.
You didn't have the
station
that long, though.
What
is it? Not 1960, you didn't have it because I was born. You didn't have a service station then.
No.
But you had it for a while. You had it for a little while.
Well, should we? In 1951, I probably had it. Then your daddy used to have you down on Ann Street.
Maybe then, but not 60.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, not 60. You passed in 60.
So you were a homeowner? And you were a business owner, and you worked at the bomber plant?
Mm-hmm.
You were busy.
I'll tell you the truth. I don't know much. I haven't been around much. I didn't get to go with my husband on any kind of vacation. We worked all the time. But he promised he would take me to what did I say that?
Niagara Falls.
We never got there because he died before he took me. Well, he worked too. We both worked.
We're tired.
We both had to work too overhead. And I kept this quilt up in 2012.
Okay.
Still on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I bought this from her.
Mm-hmm.
I paid cash for this place. for these two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about mm-hmm. The old one here, but mm-hmm. I bought this off PJ for this one here.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's wonderful. So let me go back a little bit.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about your sisters.
Oh.
Tell me about each one of them.
Well, my oldest sister, I'm going as far as I know, because
okay, that's fine.
I'm the fourth.
You're doing good.
Five girls, and I was the fourth. We brought up very protective. I didn't court until, you know, those days.
Right.
If people wouldn't, my daddy, he raised us up. But we come up the hard way courting. I was really glad I finished high school so I couldn't marry. Because during those school days, I didn't court too much. We and my oldest sister, since she married, you had to kind of get out. Soon as we finished school, we was ready to go.
So now, tell me what your sisters end up, they end up in California, and what did they do for a career?
One of them was the baby girl, she just died in 2088. Isn't she, baby? She's a police.
Oh, police.
On the street.
What about the other one?
My older sister died in 1962. She was a house, you know.
House maid.
She worked in the family. And I had one sister that did work. Her husband didn't want her to. The second oldest one, she kept her kids.
Well, that was a job. Working in the home, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They all died young.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the fourth, I'm the fourth.
You're the fourth?
I'm still here.
You're right.
I've done every
kind of job.
Done every kind of job you want to call. And I said, I always said, the Lord got me here for a purpose.
That's true. It's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is like...
My mom is 92.
Well, she?
She is. She's 92.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, so... Okay, I'm going to do a little historical stuff with you now. First of all, I want you to tell me what your thoughts were about having our first African-American president.
Oh.
What'd you think about that?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful, wonderful. Because I was brought up that way, honey. I love others, all nationalities, but I was brought up, I wanted him to be a president, the first black president. That was beautiful, because I didn't think it would ever get to be. I'm going to tell you.
You got to see it, right?
I see it.
That's right.
I didn't think it would ever get to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when he won, so everybody was happy. Everybody loved his wife and loved him. That's the first one we ever had.
How do you think he did in office? Do you think he did
well? He done good.
He did good.
He didn't do his job.
All right.
They didn't seem like they wanted to push him out like they do some presidents I've seen. No. And his wife, they love her still. That everything has changed. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it has changed. Yeah. So I'm going to wrap this up in a couple minutes, but I want you to tell us any special thing you want to share with us that you haven't had a chance to share. Any advice you want to give all us, these young people here?
Oh, I tell all my young people, do what your mind tells you to do. I never done what people told me. I guess that's why I'm here. I go by my own mind. The houses, whatever. If you feel that you're right, stick to your right. Stick to your right. I'm right. She could be just as more right as the other person. If she says she's right, like me, I don't listen to nobody. I always go by my...
It's called your own mind, huh?
I do what I want to do.
Okay.
I did that working. That's why the nuns love me. When I go there and I'm going to school They said we wasn't supposed to do certain things. When I get on the job, rather do this. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not supposed to. And I wouldn't do it. But they kept me. They loved me, too, when I speak up for myself.
They respected you as well.
Yes, they did. Well, I wouldn't do nothing that I wasn't supposed to do. But I tell everybody, be your own self, honey. That's me. That's why I'm here. And I'm blessed. I don't worry about nothing. I got a home
and a family and friends.
I praise for my babies now. My 17 great grandbabies.
Are you 17? She's 17.
I mean, I got 15, babies.
Two on the way.
One on the way.
Two on the way.
Oh, two on the way.
Okay. I just pray for them.
Okay.
I love my children. This is my heart. Mm-hmm.
These are your hearts.
Mama bought the house for y'all. Mm-hmm. What can I do with it? Mm-hmm. Can't take it with me. Mm-hmm. 100 years old now. I can't do nothing much now, honey. Right. I might live to be 105 or something.
We're hoping you will. We'll be back.
I don't know. But I don't want for nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to want for nothing.
Okay. So your advice to young people is?
Be your own self, honey.
Be your own self.
Be your own self. Whatever you believe in.
Right.
I go by what I believe. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Okay. I think that's why I've been here so long. They don't tell me I do my own.
Okay.
If I'm working, do things in a nice way.
Right.
But I tell them I'm not supposed to. And I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
They kept me and loved me.
Right. I can see why.
I was more honest with them.
Right.
I didn't do nothing. And now, I don't do nothing to live for my children.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Hoarding money for his beautiful wife. He got one.
Yeah, she does.
I'm sitting here, I pray that.
He did good, huh?
I don't mind her having it. I pray that she stay in the kids as well.
So, well, listen, that's going to wrap up the interview.